HiBridge Audio presents The Secret Life of Bees by Sue Monk Kidd. Read for you by Jenna Lamia.
The queen, for her part, is the unifying force of the community. If she is removed from the hive, the workers very quickly sense her absence. After a few hours, or even less, they show unmistakable signs of queenlessness. Man and Insects. Chapter 1. At night, I would lie in bed and watch the show. How bees squeezed through the cracks of my bedroom wall and flew circles around the room, making that propeller sound. A high-pitched zzzz that hummed along my skin. I watched their wings shining like bits of chrome in the dark and felt the longing build in my chest. The way those bees flew, not even looking for a flower, just flying for the feel of the wind, split my heart down its seam. During the day, I heard them tunneling through the walls of my bedroom, sounding like a radio tuned to static in the next room, and I imagined them in there turning the walls into honeycombs, with honey seeping out for me to taste. The bees came the summer of 1964, the summer I turned 14 and my life went spinning off into a whole new orbit, and I mean whole new orbit. Looking back on it now, I want to say the bees were sent to me. I want to say they showed up like the angel Gabriel appearing to the Virgin Mary, setting events in motion I could never have guessed. I know it is presumptuous to compare my small life to hers, but I have reason to believe she wouldn't mind. I'll get to that. Right now, it's enough to say that despite everything that happened that summer, I remain tender toward the bees. July 1st, 1964. I lay in bed, waiting for the bees to show up, thinking of what Rosaline had said when I told her about their nightly visitations.
"Bees swarm before death,"
she'd said. Rosaline had worked for us since my mother died. My daddy, who I called T-Ray because daddy never fit him, had pulled her out of the peach orchard where she'd worked as one of his pickers. She had a big round face and a body that sloped out from her neck like a pup tent, and she was so black that night seemed to seep from her skin. She lived alone in a little house tucked back in the woods, not far from us, and came every day to cook, clean, and be my stand-in mother. Rosaline had never had a child herself, so for the last 10 years I'd been her pet guinea pig. Bees swarm before death? She was full of crazy ideas that I ignored, but I lay there thinking about this one, wondering if the bees had come with my death in mind. Honestly, I wasn't that disturbed by the idea. Every one of those bees could have descended on me like a flock of angels and stung me till I died, and it wouldn't have been the worst thing to happen. People who think dying is the worst thing don't know a thing about life. My mother died when I was 4 years old. It was a fact of life, but if I brought it up, people would suddenly get interested in their hangnails and cuticles, or else distant places in the sky, and seem not to hear me. Once in a while, though, some caring soul would say, "Just put it out of your head, Lily. It was an accident. You didn't mean to do it." That night I lay in bed and thought about dying and going to be with my mother in paradise. I would meet her saying, "Mother, forgive. Please forgive." And she would kiss my skin till it grew chapped and tell me I was not to blame. She would tell me this for the first 10,000 years.